Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 18. This is going to cover stout. We ask, of course, that you respect the laws, you drink responsibly. Wow, I've already been drinking. Drink responsibly and all that stuff. I'm your host, Derek Schomer, and I have with me today Doug from North Carolina. Oh, Doug, you updated my show notes. That's awesome.
North Kakalaki.
North Kakalaki. In the house. We had, Dave had to, he had some, this is the problem with Dave. Dave has a bad memory, because he doesn't actually listen to the podcast after we record it, so this is okay. Although he might listen to this one, because he's not in it. But he doesn't usually remember when he has things to do, so he plans something with us, and then he goes, oh shit, the wife will kill me if I do that, because we're going to insert some sort of predestined thing to do. So he didn't make it. Kate's not going to make it.
What? He was going to a reading by David Sedaris, and the kick-ass thing is, A, David Sedaris is by far one of the funniest novelists or short story writers out there, and he doesn't really do nonfiction. It's mostly based on his life, but dude is entirely – he's wicked funny, and he's from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, see, you're already an instant fan.
Instant fan.
You're like one of those guys that moves to a new area and he totally just goes with the baseball or the basketball team or the football team of that area. Like, dude, I have a buddy, Rob, who actually was the one who founded this idea, Everyday Drinkers, although he's not in it anymore. And he's all about the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think it is.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
He lived there for like a month, right? But he's this huge fan, and he's still a dedicated fan. But he was only there for a month. I don't understand what like happened, or maybe a year, whatever it was, that he just became an instant fan. It's like you were born in North Carolina, but you weren't.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, North Carolina, I have lived here longer than I have lived anywhere else in my life.
No way. Really? Yeah, way. Longer than up in New Hampshire?
At this point, longer than in New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
Like in consecutive years.
You guys jumped around a lot. That's true. Arizona. Yeah. That's kind of cool, I guess. I'm not really sure. So the end result is Dave's not going to be here, and Kate's not going to be here because she has other things to do, and she was kind of offline. And, you know, everybody has personal lives except for me and Doug. And when it comes to dedication, we're here. That, and I'm going to be on a business trip next week, so we had to really get this done. So what we're going to do is we're going to cover all different types of stouts until I don't think we'd actually get drunk more than just get a really big stomach ache. But we're going to give it our all because we've got for just two of us, we've got 8 beers. And
that's a lot of beers.
It's a lot of beers. Now, granted, two of them we got in common, or one of them we got in common because I think it's important to have something in common. And you said this is like one of the better beers, so I had to make sure to get it. Not that I would have wanted to pass up a Sam Smith. But, you know, there's a lot of good stouts out there, and it was tough because this stuff isn't cheap. And unfortunately, since we don't have any real good ad revenue, it comes down to like us putting this in ourselves. So I spent $20 on this, plus I stole some from work, which is a weird story. But I had some Ipswich Oatmeal Stout in my office because when we were doing some training, we helped out the training people internationally and stuff. And so in reward, they gave us a couple of cases of beer. They sent out them email saying, hey, everybody, come get your beers in Derek's office. Yeah, like 2 people showed up, right? So now I've got 2 cases of beer, good beer, right? And I got some Sam Adams. I got a case of like the Sam Adams Brewer Collection. I get a case of Ipswich, like the random assortment collection. So basically, I'm doing the holdout thing. I'm just going to hold out. And since nobody's showing up, after a couple of weeks, that sucker's mine. So I'm just bringing a couple home each time.
It's like squatter's rights.
Right. I don't want to bring home 2 boxes, so I'm just bringing a few beers at a time. Eventually it'll be gone. It's sort of like how you would dig out of jail if you were in Shawshank.
With a spoon
right
behind a poster of Rita Hayworth.
Exactly. Except for a spoon and a poster, I'm going to have beer.
And sweet.
I kind of feel weird, awkward bringing it in the car like singles. I don't know if that's even legal to drive with singles in your car. Like, I know you can put it in the trunk, but I'm in a convertible, and it doesn't have a lot of trunk space, so I just threw it up front. I don't know. It's not open. It's not like I'm, you know, sucking them down as I go down the road, so whatever. So, anyway, what do you got for your stouts this week?
All right, so I picked 4, and just because I'm the trooper that I am, when I was out at a bar earlier today, I had a different stout. So for the current lineup, I have the Rasputin Imperial Stout. the Sam Smith's Imperial Stout, the Duck Rabbit Milk Stout, and the Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
So you cover the spectrum, and I try to go the other way. Although I also have the Sam Smith Imperial Stout, I went with – I had to do this, and I happened – I wouldn't have done it if I couldn't do it this way, but I got a Guinness Extra Stout. Now, yep. The trick here is I didn't get the draft. I got the I got a bottle of it, and it was a single. And they have like at my drink shop, they don't sell singles per se. They sell singles when they have them available that are just like floating around. I don't know how that happens that you just end up with one beer, but
it's just somebody steals one out of a six pack.
Yeah, you can't sell
it.
They
have a broken six pack.
Yeah, basically. So they tag it.
Why I ended up getting the milk stout that I did, because it did come out of a broken six pack.
Oh yes, some places that's cool; they're okay with that. But this place, they just throw them in this little freezer, refrigerated area with like they had everything in there. It was just a random assortment. I saw the Guinness because it's hard to miss, so I picked up the Guinness. It was like $1.59. They didn't have any big ones. They didn't have like a big can, so it's like single can. So I did that. They didn't have, and I wish they did. Is the Sam Smith oatmeal stout. I wanted to get that, but they only had them in four packs. And the problem with that is, what are you doing over there? Exploding beer?
Yeah, I popped open the Young's Double Chocolate, which it comes in a can, so it has one of those like little widget things.
Oh, like the Guinness has?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was cool. So that I have, I went with the Ipswich Oatmeal Stout, which I stole from my office, Guinness Extra Stout, Sam Smith Imperial Stout like you have. And then on my way out, I was carrying, and I really wanted this, but it was an emotional ripping of my soul, but I had the Sam Adams.
Really?
Yeah. It was definitely a decision. They had Sam Adams Cream Stout. Now, I wanted Sam Adams Cream Stout, but then Shipyard Bluefin Stout was just staring me in the face. It was right on the way through the aisle, and I didn't see it when I walked in. I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is. I've had Cream Stout, so I decided to risk and go with the Shipyard Bluefin Stout.
They make good beer.
So I decided that would be the route I'd go, and I think it's more local, Shipyard. So I figured it would be cool to represent the local fare. And that would be our selection. So we've got a whole bunch of different stouts. Now, have you ever brewed a stout, or can you brew stout?
Yes. Technically, I can brew a stout, but prefer to brew porters.
Which is similar, except... Why did you choose the porter instead of the stout? Is the ingredients readily available?
No, it's more of a preference. I mean, on my end, the reason that I prefer to brew the porter than the stout is you get a lot of the color from the stout from the roasted barley, but you don't derive a lot of the character from that. You know, it's not as dependent upon that particular ingredient. So you can mix in a lot of the other different types of barley's with it, so you can use like two row English along with it instead of using all roasted barley. So it adds for a lighter flavor into it, but you still have a little bit of the bitterness and the chocolatiness and the carameliness that you can get out of the stout, but that's not the prevalent character of the beer.
Right. So what you're describing is almost like a winter brew. Like the winter beers traditionally, or at least around here, tend to have more maltiness in them. So you end up with more of a chocolatey, high alcohol content winter beer, where stout, it's really all about the malts, the roasted malts, and the roasted barley. Now, yep. That does restrict you to that recipe in such a way that it's hard to vary too much from the stout. Now, there are ways, of course, to vary, but a lot of these that we're going to go through for types aren't all – they're like way out there. They're not like, we'll just add a different type of barley or whatnot. It's like, we're going to put milk in there, or we're going to put oats, stuff that is not traditional ways of changing a beer. Right. You're not just changing a style of barley or how you do or how much. It's like completely random adjuncts, it seems.
It really is.
So I can see why you wouldn't go that direction if you're not a diehard stout drinker. Like I don't mind stouts. I'm not a huge fan of Guinness per se, and I guess I wouldn't on a single night. I think if I had a stout, it would be after dinner, during a party, maybe a poker game. I wouldn't drink one for the love of drinking one while watching TV, I don't think. Or it's hard because it's such a distinct flavor and taste. It's more like a dessert beer. So Yeah. Where I kind of like, if I'm going to party and I know I'm going to be doing some heavy drinking, I'm going to go with something lighter like an ale. Doesn't necessarily mean light now in alcohol content, but in just stomach weight. It's like a stout is like you're eating a dinner. And so it's weird.
I would liken a stout as to like the difference between like maybe a stout and maybe an IPA is a stout is so much richer.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's so rich that like when you like it, and everybody can relate to this, you get that dessert that's so sweet, there's so much butter and so much cream in it that you take a couple bites. And it's so rich that, you know, you only have a couple bites and it's really not that filling. But at the same time, it so is because your palate is just like going,
yes.
Oh, God, what are you doing to me?
It's like it's almost like, I don't want to equate it to like dropping acid, but you need, because that would be wrong. But like, it's almost like it's like a condensed version of a beer where you're getting all that taste. And it works exactly for like a fudge, a piece of really rich fudge, where you take a bite and you're like, I'm done. It was awesome, but I'm done. Because it's just so much. It's like a whole meal or a whole dessert wrapped up into a single bite. So,
right.
And you get the same thing with a stout. It's like a porter. Actually, back in the day, it was a porter. They were pretty much the same thing. Historically, apparently, they are one and the same. The stout was said to have gotten its name in like 1677, which is older than I am, so I can only report on what I've heard. The main thing about the stout is it's not really heavy. It's not really aggressive. It just looks like it. I mean, it looks like it's going to hurt you. I kind of equate it to a dark stout is much like my timid German Shepherd, which I own, which is a big 100 and like something pound black beast, right? It looks like a bear. And if it comes running at you, you will pee your pants. We've had people like UPS drivers literally jump into their vehicle almost through the window to get away from the dog. Now, the dog just wants to lick and cuddle, right? It has nothing. There's no real fear in it. It's just, it looks badass. And when I first saw the stout, I'm like, oh man, this thing's going to kill me because it looks like Satan. It's like the big, dark, manly beard that's going to put hair on your chest. But it's not really. It's actually, they don't all have that much alcohol even to begin with.
No, and actually, I think that's a very poignant observation about stouts is they're not really heavy beers. I mean, they taste heavy and they give you the sensation that they're going to be heavy, but they're, you know, no more heavy technically than your run-of-the-mill, you know, ale.
Right. Realistically, if you were to actually have this is usually an immature thing, but like a drink pound off with a buddy, right? If they're drinking a Budweiser, they're going to fall to the floor before you will. Because like most stouts, like for a Guinness, for instance, it's like 4.7% alcohol by volume. So if you're getting a Bud, they're usually around 5, you know, not necessarily much more, but in quantity. And you've seen how fast comes down to how fast, right? A Budweiser goes down real quick, right? You can drink 3 of those things before you've even realized they're gone. With a stout, you're going to be nursing it because it just wants to be slow. And I don't know, it's kind of abrasive a little. You just don't pound stouts. Now, I have seen somebody pound a stout, and only because I dared them. It can be done. It's just and it usually takes a special someone. So what are you drinking right now?
I am currently drinking, I just popped open the Young's Double Chocolate Stout, and honestly, chocolatey.
Really?
Yeah,
I would have assumed that would be the case.
But truth in advertising.
Now,
chocolatey.
Is it chocolate like you don't like the amount? Like, is it overbearing amount of chocolate?
No, not at all. I would say that it's not like Hershey's chocolatey.
Like a milk chocolate.
No, it's definitely not like a milk chocolate. It's more like
a 70%
cocoa.
Oh, like
chocolate.
Like the black.
Yeah, like, you know, like the really dark chocolate that has a little like more bitterness and less sweetness to it.
Like but a European. Like
the sweetness is, yeah, exactly.
European, Switzerland, or around that area. Some German chocolates. I've had like Milka chocolate and Kinder chocolate in Germany is fucking awesome. But it's in literally like, dude, I am not a chocolate guy. But God, we usually get them for the holidays. I usually ship them over. And God, man, it's like I just want to sit down and just eat all of them at once. It's that good. But it's not dark. I don't really care. I'm not a dark chocolate type of person. So I always buy like the lighter ones and the white chocolates. In beer, I think that the dark chocolate's okay because you're expecting some bitterness, some dryness, some like knock you out type of taste, which is good. I think if you had a sweet chocolate, I don't know if that would be such a great idea for a beer. I've never had one myself that's been sweet like that.
No.
Which is why, like we were saying before the show, is like there's the strawberry blondes and the I don't even know how they make them, strawberry and cherry and like cherry wheats. It's almost like so artificial, even though it's not. I'm not saying that they use artificial flavors and colorings. I'm just saying like it.
No, I'll tell you how they make it.
Oh, you know?
Yeah, with a bucket of fail.
I'm like, whoa, is fail some sort of strawberry? You've been on the internets too long. Yes, it's probably like a big old bucket of fail. And the problem is when it comes back up, it tastes three times worse. Like I don't.
Yeah, it tastes like fail with vomit.
Yeah, it's not a good time.
It's not good.
But it's like those are artificial sweeteners almost that they seem to add to them where you're like, I wanted a beer. If I wanted an after-dinner liqueur, I would have chosen one. So yep. The dark liquor is not too bad. So you, out of all the stouts that you have had, would you get that again?
The Young's Double?
Yeah.
In the event this is no.
You're trying to figure out a way to say yes, but
I really did. I mean, it's good. It's good. It has a very light mouthfeel. I would liken it to a Guinness. It does have that whatever roasted malt and barley that they use definitely likens it to a dark bitter chocolate, which is really nice. It has beautiful head. It smells great. It has a really nice like coffee smell to it.
Yeah,
which I would say, you know, goes back to the fact that it has that bitter thing going on.
Right, it's chocolatey.
But no, I mean, I.
Is it really?
Just goes, it goes back to if I'm going to be getting a stout, there are a couple of stouts that I know that I like, or I would probably find something else on the menu that I would prefer to have that I would prefer to have over this. Although I know a lot of people that absolutely, you know, go gaga over the Young's.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So, but the thing is, now is it really pitch black like a stout, like a really black?
Oh my God, it's dark. It's and really dark.
Is the head got the is the like the tan bubbles, the tan head?
It's beautiful.
See, now I've got two here open. Actually, one I just finished, so I can still go through that. But I just noticed because I opened right when you said Guinness. I'm like, you know what? I haven't had that in a while, so I cracked that open. Guinness has a white head, which is weird because a lot of stouts don't have a white head, and I don't know. I don't know the reasoning behind why it's a white head. It has no capsule in it or anything.
I wish I knew, but I don't. I think it probably has something to do with the fact that they carbonate it with nitrogen.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah, maybe it has something to do with the way they're carbonating it, almost unnaturally.
Yeah.
I finished the Bluefin. I was drinking it before we got here. I got another one here just as another test case if I get desperate. I'm not impressed with the Shipyard Bluefin. Now, Beer Advocate,
that's too bad.
Gave it a
really?
B. Yeah, you know what it is? It tastes like Starbucks coffee. It's
really?
Yeah, it's very, very coffee flavors, very coffee aroma. Like the nose is strong coffee. Not too much chocolate. Dark head, like we were saying. The other weird thing, though, is it's really thin. Like it's watery. It's carbonated, kind of maybe overcarbonated, maybe. I don't know why that is. So you get that malt coffee with a huge, huge aftertaste. We're talking like 5 minutes aftertaste. Like, it just doesn't go away. Very acidic aftertaste. It kind of
Almost like drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and you kind of get that phlegm in the back of your throat.
Yeah,
like you've been drinking coffee or maybe a Midori sour. I don't know. There's so many things that you can. Orange juice, tequila sunrise. I can go on forever.
Like, you're drinking a Midori sour.
It's like that without the actual taste of Midori.
Where's Luke when we need
him? I know. So then what I did is I thought, well, now that I did that, I opened up the Guinness. Now, the Guinness is what I'm baselining everything on only because of how well it's marketed. People know Guinness. I've had Guinness, and the other trick there is I've had Guinness in its native environment, you know, down in London, draft, you know, different styles of Guinness, Guinness Red, Guinness Extra Dry, or Extra Stout is whatever they want to call it, and the Guinness is creamy. It's like, it's not as creamy as it is in London, but it is definitely got a thicker mouth feel, like a almost like a like ice cream that melted into a bowl and then you sucked it up. Right. And it doesn't have the same coffee taste.
I drink your stout. I slip it up.
Well, exactly. And it has a weird aroma. I can't place it. I think it's malt, actually. I don't think it's not really chocolate. It's not really coffee. It's just malt, which I guess that's okay. This thing is made with roasted malt.
I just busted open the Duck Rabbit milk stout.
Good.
It has a very, very, very interesting aroma.
Like sour milk?
No.
Sweet?
Well.
Dude. Did you listen to this, okay? Now, I did some research on the milk stouts. They also called it a sweet stout or a cream stout. Now, I like the cream stout, which is – milk stout to me just sounds weird. But that's the lactose. So it's a milk sugar. It's a style of stout derived from milk. Sweetness is added after the beer is actually finished because lactose doesn't ferment well or at all.
No. Nope. Right.
So apparently – now, this is what I got. I tried cross-referencing this, but it's hard to find this exactly anywhere but like Wikipedia and a couple other resources, and I don't know where each one pulls it from. Apparently, its original purpose of a milk stout was for mothers who were nursing because it had lactose and such stuff, which is good for children. Thus,
that sounds retarded.
This was a while ago, like 1800s style, right? So it does sound retarded to me, but I can see how somebody in the 1800s who – you know, we're talking about people who at one time thought you can remove curses by sucking one's blood with leeches, right? Now, granted, there's probably some science behind certain leeching, but not for, like, curses and weird shit. So, different time, different place. End result is, cream stout was almost something to use, maybe not almost, but was, for nursing. Now, in 1875, John Henry Johnson first sought out a patent for milk beer based on whey, lactose, and hops. Cream stout is a licensed beer. That's why you don't see too much of it, because it's actually patented.
Oh, get out. Kind of like Ankerstein.
Yes, except this was done in 1875, so he's probably made more money since then.
Wow, no shit.
So what do
That's
you
– interesting.
How do you – what does it taste like? It doesn't taste like milk. I know that.
No, it doesn't, but I will say that it's reminiscent of – it has that odd – like if you've – this is going to be an awful analogy because I so don't want to turn people off from milk stouts or stouts in general. But if you could imagine taking like the worst overcooked – like if you take – Folgers and run it through like at work, you know, like at work,
coffee.
Everybody has
work
like
coffee.
The work coffee and somebody tries to make it better by kind of almost trying to double up the coffee to make it a little bit stronger. But then it just tastes like doubly strong crap.
Right. You've actually increased the suck factor.
Yeah. When you're trying to make it better and then you add the normal amount of creamer that you would take and then you take a sip of it and you're like, oh, my God. Yeah, it tastes like that, but it's good.
No, you know, there's a trick with that. Like if, and I've showed you Wine Library TV, but Gary Vaynerchuk, who does Wine Library TV, he equates, and wine testers in general do this, and I think I'm going to some wine tasting soon, so I got to double check with Don on that. But wine tasters can taste weird things. Like, okay, this tastes like poop, tastes or manure. It tastes like dirty shoes. It tastes like leather. It tastes like charcoal. You know, not everything tastes like lemons and fruits and you know, grapes. But it's weird because it's not a bad relationship. It's really what you're just basically saying. This is what my palate is firing off for memories of what this should taste like. It doesn't mean it. You're literally eating and tasting the consistency of poop or urine. It's just it's a taste, and it's not a bad thing. I don't know. It's hard to describe it. I don't see it as much in beers. Every now and then I do, but sometimes
I actually, you know, and like now that I'm drinking a little bit, I would liken it to like a shot of espresso with a mini moo in it and a little bit of sugar.
And you, so which makes sense because it's a coffee, milky. You've got the roasted barleys and malts, but you've also got the lactose, which is going to sweeten it up a bit. And I think realistically, a cream stout is a great introduction for people that are going to do the stout for the first time. Because it kind of takes a little of the edge off. Now, does it have a long? Does yours have a long aftertaste, or does it just kind of subtly disappear?
No, I don't think that any of these are going to subtly disappear. But I did. I just took a quick taste of the Young's Double Chocolate, you know, just to make sure that I honed in on exactly what I thought that I was honing in on with the taste. And yeah, the Young's Double Chocolate does not have any of that subtle, like mini moo factor going on.
Right.
It really doesn't. So it's I mean, if you get a milk stout, then you're definitely gonna taste the what is it called?
Lactose.
Yeah, lactose.
Like if you're lactose intolerant, probably not the beer for you.
Right. No.
That would be a bad idea unless you take your little pills. Oh my god, dude. So I poured this Ipswich I can't say that, man. Ipswich stout. Yeah, Ipswich stout.
Ipswich.
Where is this made? Maine?
Sounds like it.
Okay. I'm going to let this thing settle because, oh my god, it made like a three-finger head for some absolutely random reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, you poured it too fast.
No, I poured it as fast as the other ones. I poured it just as fast, like up against the glass, and it just went crazy. Now, the other type of stout is the Luck of the Irish or...
Ipswich, Australia?
Oh, really?
No, that can't be right.
It's got a ship. They don't have ships in Australia.
Ipswich.
You look for Maine. Mercury Brewing Company. Ipswich, Maine. No,
Ipswich,
I got it.
Mass.
Oh, yeah, Ipswich. That's why. It sounds really familiar. I just assumed it was Maine. Okay, Mass. So that's pretty local. That's like right down the road. That's pretty cool. So I'll let that one stir. So I'm double fisting right now. I still got the what the hell am I drinking? Oh, yeah, the Guinness. So I'll start with that one. But first, before I get into the Guinness, this is a dry stout. This is the Luck of the Irish, they call it, or a traditional Irish stout. Now, it fits the profile of a Guinness pretty well. Charred, dark, rich style, coffee-like taste. Now, it's a coffee-like taste. It's not the taste of coffee, which was much more like the Shipyard Bluefin stout that I had, which was like drinking a bag of coffee beans. Except, now back to the Shipyard for a second. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I don't think I'd buy it again. Unfortunately, it's the only one I have a six-pack of. Because it doesn't have the creamy texture. It doesn't have, like, the heaviness. It's almost like drinking an ale, but coffee-like. So I don't know. I'm not that big of a fan compared to all the other stouts I've had. It doesn't make me just sit back and go, wow. You know, it doesn't give me that wow factor. And honestly, neither does Guinness. I've never went out and actively sought Guinness. I know people who drink Guinness. You go to a bar, you get Guinness. The only way I ever get Guinness at a bar is floated with Bass. That's just what I do.
Black and Tan.
I always do.
That's actually tasty.
I love Black and Tan. And I don't know. You know what it is? Like I said before, I'm not a huge fan of stouts, like to the point of where I want to have a stout every day. But if I'm going to get something at a bar and I want variety, the Black and Tan is the perfect option because you've got your ale and you've got your stout all kind of not mixed together, which is a cool part. So you can actually drink. You could go, oh, that's a good stout. I like it. It was rich. It was creamy. But then it's over. Halfway through, you're done. So you get like, 6 ounces of that. Then you get 6 ounces of ale. So it's a great mix because it's not mixed. But you get it all in one cup, which is cool. And I don't know, I'm not a big, huge fan of the dry stout, only because I don't feel that it brings a lot to the table. It tastes like dark beer, I mean, it doesn't. The thing that Guinness has that the other ones haven't sometimes is the thickness and the richness and the creaminess. That it's not all about the taste, but about the feel. You're feeling it, and you're like, "Wow, this is like coffee. This is like ice cream." Now, completely different in London. I liked it in London a lot. Like, it was very tasty. But that's a different experience, and unless you're in London, you can't experience that.
The Guinness?
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. I think that Guinness is one of those beers that, while they try to reach the broader market with going – making themselves available in large cans and or the bottles – I really think that they ended up doing themselves disservice, because you should not have a Guinness unless you are at a bar, tavern, pub that is going to serve Guinness properly.
Right, right.
And even then, if you're getting in the U.S., it's not going to in any way, shape, or form be as good as if you got it on the island.
Right. And I'm guessing I factored to two things. The first one, obviously, is the time, right? The beer, regardless of it, it's not going to taste the same. It has a different amount of time. Who knows how long it's taken to get from the UK over to wherever it is, like, say, California, which is the last place I ordered a Black and Tan in Palm Springs last year, which is where I'm going next week, so I'll order another. And
nice.
I don't know if it's the time, the distance, or how it's put on the tap. All I know is it tastes different, and the other factor is the London factor. If you are in London and you're drinking a Guinness in an Irish bar, the mood set is completely different. It's not like you're watching a football game or you're sitting in the stinky sports bar in the downtown Boston. You're in London. You're on a vacation, more likely, or a business trip, whatever it is. You're enjoying yourself, and you're out at an Irish pub in the middle of London. Completely different environment. It's like drinking a Corona at the beach. It tastes better at the beach, even though it's the same Corona. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't know. And
it's like having a Red Stripe in Jamaica.
Exactly.
It tastes just like a Red Stripe, but you're in Jamaica and it tastes that much better.
Right. And you're like, well, naturally I'm going to get a Red Stripe. Why? Because I'm in Jamaica. I want a Jamaican beer. Why would I order Dos Equis in the middle of Jamaica? No. I mean, that makes sense.
Or a Guinness.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not a Guinness. I wanted to touch on porters for a second, just because we don't really have any.
Real quick, before you go there, the last time we went to Jamaica, I had a stout.
Really?
And for the life of me, I cannot freaking remember exactly the name of it, but I'm thinking it was like Red Dragon or something like that. And on the way to the place that we were staying, we stopped at this rest up.
Was it like 15% alcohol?
No, it wasn't like 15, but it was like 7.
Oh, okay.
Or something. So, you know, I mean, it was good enough for like when I saw it, I was like, mine.
Yeah.
So I got it, and it was really, really, really good. And then like the place that we got to, they didn't have crap. It was relatively disappointing, the place that we ended up staying in. But regardless, it was still Jamaican. It was still great because it was Jamaica.
There is that.
And then like when we went off site from the place that we were at, we went to another place and they had it. And so I got a couple more. So that was great. Which my point is, you can get stouts everywhere.
Right. I would hope. Because it's not about drinking a Guinness in Jamaica or Hawaii or California. It's about getting the local recipes and the local brews from those specific areas or around those areas. I mean, anybody pretty much can get roasted malts and roasted barley and a recipe and make a stout. If they're talented and they do it correctly and they do it well and they add a little of their own personal flair to it, you can't go wrong. You can't be like, well, no, I'm not in Britain, so I can't have a stout. Because no one's to say that it can only be in Britain. What you really want is you want a good beer.
Right.
Number one. And I was just thinking of the Dragon beer that I had when I was in Palm Springs, and it was awful. Well, it wasn't awful. It was the beer that you ordered if you you wanted a challenge, really. It was like that beer that they're like, oh, do you want to try this? Like when you say, I want the strongest beer you got, and they say, oh, you want this. and it's like 11, 12, 13, 15, something percent. It was harsh. Like, it was strong. And strong in alcohol, the taste, it's sort of like if you get hot sauce, right? You can get butt pucker hot sauce, and you're like, well, what's the point of the butt pucker hot sauce? It's to fucking make you get really hot and cry. It's not for flavor. It's more of a manly challenge. I think that's what this beer was. It was like, hey, how can we make a beer that's as close, if not more, than a table wine and call it beer? You're kind of losing some of the flavor when you go with the idea of overbalancing it into the flavor of alcohol, which thankfully these don't do. These actually are opposite. They're almost like more flavor than alcohol.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the case until you get to the Imperials.
Yeah. So the other one is there is a porter, the concept of a porter. Now, I didn't get a porter. I have one downstairs. I have Sam Adams Honey Porter, I think it was another one of the brewer collections. And
that's actually a pretty good beer.
I haven't tried it yet. I'm saving it for an everydaydrinkers.com review, which will be soon now that you said that, because I've never had it before. Porter is the original stout, named after those that liked stouts, and they worked on the docks of London. Those people were known as porters. Thus, the idea that you were drinking a porter, you're drinking a stout that porters liked. Once upon a time, porter had this high alcohol content, which was kind of, I guess, considered an extra double. You have a double. I don't know if it's high alcohol. Like, is the double chocolate based on the fact that it's double or that it's chocolate times two?
I would say the latter.
Yeah.
More than the former.
Because it doesn't have a high alcohol content. It's like 5 point something. So right. It's probably a little different. So basically what happened is they based extra double or stout on the strength of the beer. So if you had an extra porter, you had a porter with some extra alcohol. If you had a double porter, it had double alcohol. If you had a stout porter, it was like really strong. Of course, stout and porter was a little different. Some porters were stronger than stouts. Some were the same. Others were the complete opposite. So at the end, you ended up with this massive amount of confusion. Today, the main difference is the roasted barley. As you said when we started the podcast, it's all about the barley, man. So if it has roasted barley, it's a stout. Otherwise, it's a porter. Other than that, they're both dark. They both have malty chocolatiness to them. They both resemble each other and everything except for that. What the hell was that?
I dropped my opener.
Oh.
Sorry.
So basically, they resemble each other in everything but that one crucial difference, which is the barley, which, like you said, allows you to differentiate the flavors and get a different profile to the drink. Thus, porters are probably more versatile than a stout. But a stout, again, is a recipe. There's also a Baltic porter. Apparently, a Baltic porter is higher in alcohol content. It's brewed in Denmark, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Russia, and Sweden.
The Duck Rabbit?
Yeah.
They make a Baltic porter, wicked good. Yeah.
So apparently these use a top fermented beer, more like ales. But they used to use a top fermented beer more like ales. Now they're using a more lager style bottom fermented for the Baltic porters. It's weird. I don't know when some of this history changes. Apparently people who make a good drink end up changing the recipe for everyone, I would guess. But, you know, I haven't had a Baltic porter myself, and I've had a couple porters, not too many, because honestly, before I actually did the research, couldn't tell there's difference between a porter and a stout. I'm like, well, maybe they're just the same and it's all marketing. So now I know I can try some of those porters and get a little difference.
If you try a porter, I mean, you can definitely taste the difference. Like, you do not get the bitter coffee thing that stouts have. You really don't get that off of porters. They're a lot cleaner.
Right. It's more like an ale, or more like a lager, or either, really. Anything that's not a stout.
Yeah.
And these do have a nice thick head, though. Okay, so I finished the... Whoa. I finished the Guinness. I did pound half of it, because I need that glass.
And at this point, I will say that I don't think that this is an initial, like, you know, having beer for the first time, or I honestly don't think that it's also wrapped in any kind of nostalgia. But I will say that one of the best beers, like definitely in the top five, like not in variety, but top five beers that I've ever had in my life was your dad's.
It was a stout, right?
Year old stout.
That was like the difference.
Like
that, yeah.
Yeah, like he went and he was like, hey, you guys, you know, want a beer? And we're like, yeah. And it's like, you want a stout? And we're like, yeah. And it's like, okay, I'll be back.
Well,
and then he came back like 30, 45 minutes later. And then he was like, okay, here, have this. I'm like, wow, this is really good. And he was like, yeah, it's my stout. I hit it on myself. So I didn't drink it all.
I think it's weird, even though we might have, I'm sure we were definitely underage at the time, but the fact that we appreciate it in a different way at that age, because, well, first off, you haven't had a lot of beers, so you haven't had a lot of comparison, but when you get something that you actually like, and you're cognizant of the fact that you know what beer tastes like, initially, there's always that reaction. You like when I was a kid, when I was younger, and I was like, Daddy, can I have some of this? Whatever it was, you're probably drinking like a Coors Light or whatever when I was younger. And they give you that sip, and you're like, oh my God, this is disgusting. How could you drink that? And it's like right. That enough to tell you don't want to drink beer. So you learn that early as a kid, or I did. And then when you get to the point where you can actually appreciate it on your palate, and you're like, wow, you know what? That tastes good. Whether it was a stout or not, it didn't matter. Really, it was just about the taste, and it was definitely strong. It had more of an alcohol taste to it. It was a little older too, but it was well balanced enough that you wouldn't. It wasn't like, oh my God, this tastes like pure alcohol, or this tastes like malt. It didn't taste like malt. It didn't taste like barley. It tasted good. It was almost lighter, creamier, strong, like yep. Real strong, like not like a. Looks strong like a Guinness, where a Guinness is actually pretty light. No, it was badass. So yeah, I think you still have. There's got to be some nostalgia there, though.
But it's also
homebrew, right? And yeah. How do you beat that? You can't. It's hard to beat a homebrew that somebody has in their house that they've been working on, and they're talented enough to make a good beer. I mean, the best you can do is try and reproduce it, but it's like trying to find that perfect hamburger all over again, and you've seen it at one small... You know what? No. It's like when you go to a breakfast bar. The best places that I have found to eat breakfast ever are the dives. The places that are like Cookies Chuck Wagon. You're like, what the fuck is Cookies Chuck Wagon? You go in there and you're like, oh my God, this is really good. It's got like three guys in the back. They're cooking. I don't know. Maybe it's clean back there. Maybe it's sanitary. I don't know, but it's really good. Right. It's the same thing where they're not a franchise. They're just out to make a really good whatever it is. They take pride in their work. And I think that's the difference between certain micro brews and certain mass market brews where they're like, well, this is what we make. You know, if you make something good and you hit on it, obviously you stick with that. Then there's like, what do you guys not like? That was the winter beer from Red Hook. Was that what it was? The one that you guys said tastes like really bad? Like you and Kate were, oh my God.
No, it was a Brooklyn.
I thought it was, no, Oktoberfest, wasn't it?
No, I did a slight Oktoberfest tasting this weekend, but no. The winter that I did not like was the Brooklyn.
Oh, right. And for those type of recipes, you would never see, they might learn from it. I would guess maybe it is an acquired taste, but certain things like that, I hope that they go, oh, wow, not a lot of people like that. And it phases out and they make it a little better. Because they're smaller, so they could do that. Where like a Budweiser, it's like they just have Budweiser's got that thing where they've been around for a while, so you know they've hit on this recipe and that's what they stick with. The yeah. rest of the people, they work towards the best recipe, or they've had one like Guinness has had for a while. And I think it's cool when you get a smaller homebrew that hits on something that nobody else has. You're like, oh, this is awesome, and I'm never gonna find this again. But man, I'm gonna relish what I've got while I have it. And you know what though? This Ipswich oatmeal stout is fucking awesome.
I thought you were just... Oh, it was a Shipyard. That
no, that was the Shipyard.
So good.
Dude, this is really weird.
I knew that it was good. I've had that before.
I can't... It's hard. No, this is coffee. This is... The difference, though... Oh, my God. This isn't the Shipyard Starbucks coffee. Again with the mass market thing. You know what? Starbucks... I don't know who's listening. Starbucks is awful, right? It's awful. the Starbucks recipe that hits on success is overcooking your fucking beans to the point where they're disgusting and calling it venti mocha latte Gino and then fucking selling it for $7. You assume it's going to be awesome. It's $7. How could something for $7 be suck? It sucks. Now, it's granted it's better than what we have around here, which is Dunkin', in its strength. Personally, I'm a big fan of Dunkin'. I would just drink three Dunkins to one Starbucks to get the same impact. This is like good coffee, like a chocolatey, not a dark chocolate. Well, let me check. Hold on a second. No, this is like a semi-dark chocolate, a little sweet with a very creamy, milky center.
Really?
And it has, it definitely is chocolate. Like the aftertaste tastes like I just had chocolate. But it's also got like a, it's almost like a mocha latte, not from Starbucks, but something that's milky with chocolate in it. Like a dark, strong chocolate with a good milk balance. It's hard to explain, but I assumed it was going to be more like every other stout. Because it, I mean, it's an oatmeal stout, which we haven't really covered yet. But
right,
I don't know. This is pretty good shit. I understand why it's getting good ratings. It's got 7% alcohol by volume, which is a lot higher than anything I've had. The Shipyard's 4.7. Guinness is 4.3. This is above and beyond a standard beer. This is more like a Belgian ale, maybe, in strength, I would think.
7.3. Yeah, that's pretty big.
It's it's pitch black, dark head, really nice lacing. Like it just hangs out. Very small little micro bubbles that are really cool to look at. The head doesn't go away. This is the one I poured that had a huge head on it. This is a beer where I could drink it and go, tastes like an after dinner drink. Totally could do this again after dinner. This is a must own beer. We didn't go into oatmeal stout. Let's just cover that while I'm here. So an oatmeal stout, which this is a stout with portions of oats, normally a maximum of 30% added during the brewing process. Even though a large portion of the oats in beer can lead to a bitter or astringent taste, whatever, it's nothing like that in this beer. Oddly enough, during the medieval times, oats were used in ales, and this practice continues, but not nearly in the same scale as it once did. Oatmeal stout actually died out a long time ago, and it wasn't until Charles Finkel, founder of Merchant Duvin, was curious enough to commission Sam Smith to produce a version based on a reading of a 1977 book called The World Guide to Beer. Now, their oatmeal stout, which is actually the one I was trying to get that they didn't have singles for, is the template for all oatmeal stouts. So,
oh, that's interesting.
At this point, I really wish I had that oatmeal stout to compare this to, because this is really good. The smoothness of the oatmeal stout comes from the high contents of proteins, lipids, including fats and waxes, and gums imparted during the use of this oats. The gums increase the viscosity of the body and add a sense of smoothness. It doesn't typically taste like oats. That's the trick. I don't get the feeling that I'm chewing on who makes oat? Uncle Ben's? No, who? They do rice. Who does
the
oats?
The Quaker.
Quaker oats. Yeah, Quaker guy. That Quaker guy. This does not.
Quaker guy.
This does not taste like the Quaker guy's recipe. No. This is. I am very impressed. I'm going to have to go out and buy a six pack of this or steal some more from work. Because it doesn't have that much of a. It kind of has a little chocolatey aroma. But it's kind of like a sleeper beer. You drink it and you're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Technically, I do use oats in the pale ale that I make.
Really?
Yep.
So you're going old school, like medieval times.
Apparently. I didn't even know.
So why do you – did the recipe call for them, or you just found something you liked about them, like the body?
Anytime that I brew beer, I look at a lot of different recipes and go, I'll try that. And then one of the recipes that I saw for pale ale called for oats. So I was like, yeah, I'll try that in my next batch. And I tried it, and it was good. So was oats really is good. In.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what this is going to do to me tomorrow, but God, this is good.
I'm jealous.
It's not like it's weird.
I want it.
it's good. It's not, it doesn't, it's oatmeal. It doesn't say chocolate, although it is chocolatey. I'm just impressed that it carries the chocolate without overbearing you and making you very, I would say, maybe less than a minute in aftertaste. Still, like you said, this is not a beginner beer. By far, you do not start with this shit. You do not start with a stout. If you're thinking of getting your wife or your girlfriend, or if you're a woman, and which our demographic is not really women, but if it was, if you're looking to get somebody into a beer, I wouldn't start with a stout.
I would suggest starting them out with an old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, my God. So have you cracked that open?
Yeah, I just did.
So you give me your impressions after I give you this lowdown. Imperial stouts. The high alcohol content stout, usually 10% or so, originally brewed in London to be exported to Catherine II of Russia. Thus, it is also known as a Russian imperial stout. Going to Russia, the courts, you get the connection, right? The whole imperial thing. This will have strong malt flavors, dark fruits, much resembling more of a chocolate-style dessert than a beer, with a kick. It's cold in Russia, so you need the high alcohol content. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And actually, the sip that I just took was the theme with stouts apparently is the dark coffee, the dark roast bitterness is it's prevalent in everything. But the interesting thing with the Imperial Stout is the alcohol content in this one cuts right through it. And like it's the first thing that you taste. You're like, alcohol. There's alcohol in this.
Alcohol.
And then right behind that is that bitterness. This one doesn't have any of the sweetness or the chocolatiness to cut through that. So it's high alcohol, bitter.
So hoppy and alcohol-y. 9% is pretty high. I mean, it's actually under what these people are saying are the typical imperial stout. But granted, you don't have to. I mean, 10%. If you're already feeling the alcohol cut through the beer, 10% would just kill it. Like
it so would. But the interesting thing, and I really wish that you had this so that
I couldn't find. I don't know where to get that.
You should be able to get it. It's made by the North Coast Brewing Company. They make Red Seal and Blue Star.
North Coast. That's like we're up here. I'm looking at the pictures now. I don't know if I've ever seen this anywhere.
North Coast Brewing Company. I think they're Oregon.
Oh, never mind. It's not near us. I don't know.
No, sorry. They're Fort Bragg, California. So it's 9%. But I think that the taste, the alcohol taste, which is, again, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with, I really wish that you had this so you could either say I'm fucking nuts or I'm right on. But the alcohol taste to it, it tastes like vodka. It has that
Russia,
that vodka taste to it, which is, it's fucking dead on. But it's one of those things where you really wish that, like, thankfully the last podcast was sake, that Dave had the same one that I did.
And oh, with like, the bubblegum?
Yeah, bubblegum. And he's like, oh my God, bubblegum. And I was like, damn fucking straight, bubblegum.
But yeah, it's the deal where you're getting that taste of, well, you know what it is? Ethanol. So you're probably getting more of an because vodka is going to give off the flavor or the smell of ethanol, which is pure alcohol pretty much. Vodka is just ethanol cut with water. So and they make, you know, bathtub vodka, which we went through, is dangerous because they used other types of things that create ethanol. You're probably getting a very potent 9%. Like, I don't know why you would, though. 9% isn't – it's not like you're – even a schnapps – is like, what, 14, 15%?
Yeah, but I mean, think about the volume of that you end up having.
Right, and the sweetness that way, way overbalances a schnapps.
It's minimal, and you're right. The sweetness does, and there is no sweetness to balance this.
Right.
It's alcohol up front, bitterness on the back.
So a hardcore.
But it's really good.
Well, I mean, if it's good for Russia.
So everybody out there, if you're listening to this, the old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout, fucking phenomenal.
Well, I'm going to California.
Really it's a really good beer.
So when I get to California, what I'll do is I'll find – there's a sports bar that we went to last year that had – we racked up like $6,000 there. And, I mean, there was a lot of us, but still. This is still way too much. they have like everything. It's one of those places where you go and you're like, oh my God, they have everything on tap. It's not like a bar. It's a sports bar. But when you walk in, you're not like, okay, they have 7 taps and then they have a lot of hard alcohol. They had the bar was – it's got to have been, you know, probably 100 feet. And it was just like taps all the way down with just labels all over the place. So – I can only imagine they must have a Rasputin Imperial Stout. If they don't, there's going to be a problem. I'm going to get on the bar and start peeing on people. That might be overkill.
Well, I mean, don't, you know.
I won't go out of my way to get arrested just for imperial stout. But, you know, well, that and I've had a couple beers, so I'll probably be more of like mind at the time.
Like the beer that I like, or I'm going to pee on you.
So, lastly, there were two subcategories, which I didn't really cover in too much detail for the different types of stouts. The other was a chocolate stout, which you were gracious enough to cover for us. So we get the chocolate stout. They say it's more bitter, tastes like coffee beans, my bad. Luke, you can add that. If it's more bitter, it tastes like a coffee bean. It's probably a coffee stout. They actually have a coffee stout. And apparently, after World War II, a good deal of milk stout recipes died out to this thing called oyster stouts. Yes, made with oysters. I've never seen an oyster stout.
I want to make it or try it, but they make it with oysters?
They make it with oysters. Oyster stout. I don't know if you can find them on the internet.
See, I don't know if that's... do you brew with the oysters? I mean, do they go in the boil or do they go in with the...
I can't remember what part they landed in here. Okay, so on Beer Advocate, there is a thing called Oyster Stout. It says alcohol by... Whoa, they don't actually have the alcohol by volume. It got to be minus. So that's really not that good considering what I've seen for oyster
stout recipe.
Oh, that would be fucked up. Can you find an oyster stout recipe? It's got to be old school. BYO.com. Bring your own. Brew Your Own is a how-to brew beer magazine of all levels from the beginner to a blah, blah, blah. Fucking site runs slow. Okay, here we go. Black Pearl Oyster Stout. 5 gallons, all grain.
Black Pearl. Oh, okay. BYO. Okay. Fat Spider Ale, Turkey Stout, Black Kitty Brown. Only one BYO recipe has ever featured animals as an ingredient. Black Pearl Oyster Stout. We've been lucky enough to taste this beer.
10-ounce can of raw oysters.
Joe Walton and Jim Michalk. And it's delicious. Complex start.
Dude, here you go. Got it right here. Add oysters to Irish moss with 15 minutes left. Cool wort. There you go. You do it near the end.
All right. Hold on. How much? 10 ounces canned raw oysters and brine.
Yep. You're going to make this up? Show all your friends? Bring it up to me? I expect a shipment. Can you ship from North Carolina? Probably not, huh?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think I can.
Because New Hampshire, we ship anything.
Mash grains, 45 minutes. Boiler wort, 400. That's a long boil. Add hops. Add oysters and Irish moss with 15 minutes left. Cool wort. Transfer to fermenter, leaving oyster bits behind. All right, so I would need to filter when moving from the boil to the primary.
You can't do that?
No, I can. It's just more work.
I love this step. Don't eat the oysters. Joe and Jim say they taste terrible. Oh my god! Really?
No, and actually, that's funny because when you brew your own beer, you end up tasting everything. You're like, oh, I want to taste this. Ooh, I want to taste it just when it's done. Ooh, I want to taste the hops.
Hop. I love hop.
Yeah, and honestly, there's no portion of any part of the brewing process except the finish that's worth tasting.
Said from experience.
Yeah, so pro tip, taste it when it's done.
Taste it when it's done. That's, well, you know, because people who make cookies are like, ooh, cookie dough. This is a good part of the cookie dough. Before baking, it tastes better than when it's done. Sure.
Oh, it really does.
The last thing on earth that does that, though.
It really is. Yeah. Making beer is not like making cookies.
Word to the wise.
The dough does not taste good.
So do you have, now, check this out. So what I did is, I got this Samuel Smith here. This was this is your last one too, right?
Yeah, do you want to go on that one?
Yeah, I have to before dude, there's a lot of fucking beer here. I'm feeling it. So this is a Merchant Duvin, product of England. Imperial I poured stuff. Mine out. and it's I let the head settle. It actually settles down to a the head
did
stays.
You get the, just, did you get the single?
No, I got a 4-pack.
Oh, okay. I got the single, which is a pint plus.
Yes, I would
which
have
is huge.
I would have loved to get the single because it's cheaper. But they didn't have the singles of this or oatmeal stout. I wanted to punch somebody. I was lucky to find the fact that they had a single of Guinness.
You should have just asked them to break it up for you.
Can you do that?
Yeah, just ask them. Dude, I don't want to buy all these. Break it up for me. I'll buy one.
You don't understand. The beer, the drink shop, though, man, they're run by a couple. Like, I don't know who runs it, but the people who are always there on Sundays are, like, not the people that you want to talk to. They pretty much don't know anything. They are literally the skeleton crew. So I don't know if that would work out so well.
I would.
Shit. This beer's dark. Not that any of them are light. There are have been a couple. I think just maybe just the export ale. That wrong one. The Shipyard Bluefin Stout, which is the only one that you can almost barely see through. Slight tint. A little. This is none of these beers. They're all been pitch black.
This one's pitch black too.
Yes, and this one has a dark head as well, which thins out. It does. Now, the difference is, let me just check this one. I shake the other one a little. No, I still have the Ipswich Stout here, too. In the head dies off to, like, a halo effect. It's just, like, the brown halo, where the Sam Smith seems to keep going. It's like Energizer Bunny. It's still got a head on it.
And, you know,
dude,
it has that...
You don't like the tint?
Import-extort taste.
You know what? Seriously, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be fucking whacked out, but when I smelled the Sam Smith Imperial Stout, the first thing I thought of, and I'm not shitting you, is sake. And I don't know why.
Hold on.
It smells like this. It smells like a dreamy, like the white sake.
I don't know why.
It's not a rice recipe. But it has like a hint of like the
oh, it really does.
What is that?
it's that sweet.
Yeah, but the sweet. I don't know what this is.
Sweet, weird.
Yeah,
it's like every time now that like a lot of things that I end up tasting, I'm like, oh, it has that sweet like weird bubblegum flavor to it, and like every time I say that, everybody's like, oh yeah, it has that like weird bubblegum thing going on.
But for some reason, it smells like the cloudy sake, like a ricey, like a the,
it really
the,
does
the starch. Maybe it's the and starch. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
It's got to be
because we. I mean, last week we had four people. None of us could pinpoint what that scent was. All we knew was your expert opinion of Bazooka Joe bubblegum, and what was the other one? Oh, it was that flavored water stuff.
Oh, Crystal Light.
Crystal Light. Right. So, other than that, we couldn't pinpoint the sake aroma.
I listened to the podcast, so I remember.
Did you? I haven't listened to it in a week. But this is the now, not to say that it tastes necessarily like the starchy sake stuff, but the scent definitely. Now, I think this has no. It still kind of tastes like sake. It has a It does have the creaminess of the Guinness. It's a little more bitter.
Yep.
Maybe because they just balance a little more, so there's a little better hop coming through. Creamy. I don't really taste a lot of chocolate, though. Now, what is the alcohol content of this guy here? This is...
Seven.
So it's about the same as my Ipswich. I don't get that same chocolate taste, though. I'm getting more of a – I guess it would – if I had to guess anything, I would say this is more of the ale side of the stout, where Ipswich is more of the stout, chocolatey, portery – no, not even porter. More like chocolatey stout than anything. I don't – this is good. It's – I have to tell you, though, dude, I think the Ipswich beats out the Sam Smith. And I have every traditionally. If you go back to episode one, I will talk up Sam Smith every time. But I don't know. It has see, it has what like what do you think of the taste?
It's good, but I think that the
I'm just getting sake now.
I think that the really interesting thing about this is when I compare that in like the one that I poured prior to was the Old Rasputin. which was 9, and this one's 7. In both instances, the alcohol is like the first thing that hits you.
It's, oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, oh, there's a lot of alcohol in this. And it's not even in varying degrees. It's just like, oh, that there's a lot of alcohol in this. That's the thing that stood out to me.
I don't know if – you know what though? I don't think a standard – like if you were to just pick up a – and I don't know who would do this unless they already knew what they were getting. But if you went out and bought a Sam Smith Imperial Stout.
Freaking – yeah. It's that white sake.
Yes.
That's
it's
exactly
totally
what
bombarding
it tastes
my taste buds with that.
I have an odd palate cleanser, which is a warm Pabst. So I took a sip of that and then hit the Imperial, the Sam Smith Imperial Stout real quick. And then it's just like, yeah.
It has that flavor.
Taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
Bizarre.
Because I would have never flavored, I would
so
never
bizarre.
Tasted that before until I had that sake. Which is, I guess, is a good thing because, you know, you're supposed to train your palate, so you're supposed to try as many things as possible to get the idea of what everything tastes like, which is why you should always taste a stout. Regardless of whether you like it or you're afraid of it, you should just get a stout, drink it, and just – you don't have to necessarily enjoy it, but taste it to get an idea of what it tastes like. Now, for me, the Imperial is – the alcohol that you're tasting, I seriously don't think – and I'm not saying we're professionals, but I don't think somebody who's new to beers or is trying a stout for the first time is going to pick up on the alcohol.
No.
I think that's because it's there. It's definitely present and it's definitely noticeable, but I don't think it's the first thing that you think of if you're drinking. Your first thing I'm going to think of is the creamy nature of it or the maybe the chocolate or caramel, malty. Maybe just malts. You would definitely recognize up front malt, sort of like a winter, but not as ale-y, not as, I don't know, what an ale would, how an ale differentiates. Not as, the barley is a little different. Maybe not as hoppy, I would go with. It will not have as much of a bitter taste to it as a winter ale might, but it will have that predominant hoppy taste. Yep. And then if you drink it for maybe it's really like the sixth or seventh sip that you go, oh, this might have a lot of alcohol. But
no, I think that the detection of any kind of alcohol content in a beer is reserved for those people that are familiar with drinking beer.
Yeah, it comes down to the balancing between the palate and what comes first, what comes second, what comes third, and where the mid palate is and where the alcohol lies on it. And it kind of happens after you've got the sweet impact and you're like, oh, that's kind of strong. But you know what? The oatmeal stout has the body. I think that it is probably one of the better stouts variants just because it has a whole overall good taste, good flavors, good body, and it overall, it's just a good beer. And it has the same alcohol content as the Sam Smith. The Sam Smith is more like getting punched in the face.
Or teabagged.
Yes, or that.
You know, if you're into it.
Now, that's not to say it's a bad thing. It's
no,
just a completely
getting
different
thing. Teabagged is so not a bad thing. As long as you're into it.
Right. That's true. I didn't think of it that way. No, they're basically two separate styles of stout. And you've got to take it at that, at face value. They're not – they shouldn't taste the same. If they taste the same, somebody did something wrong.
Oh, that was so –
yes, I know. Or now, what are
hot.
Are you – what are you using for a glass?
Well, shit. I have three different glasses. I have a pint glass that I was using. I have a Pilsner glass, and then I have two lager glasses.
See, I have one pint glass, and then I actually have a Sam Smith glass that I got with one of my I bought Sam Smith at some point and it came with a glass, which is actually a stout glass. It's kind of got that little bump to it.
Oh, nice.
And it says Sam Smith on it, so that's kind of cool. The other one is just basic, but I don't know if it really, I guess it makes a little difference. At that point, I'm not at the professional level where the glass is going to make a huge difference to me. Sure.
No, as long as I can, you know, drink out of it. And it's not out of the bottle, that's good.
Right. And even in when I was in London, they gave me a standard pint glass. They didn't give me any special logo glass. Well, they did, I guess, for the Fullers they did. But I don't remember if the Guinness had a specific glass. Like, maybe it did. I could be completely lying. I don't know.
I have for you a pro tip.
A pro tip.
Pro tip. In the event you want to get a good smell or a good waft, a smell off your beer, take your glass and take your hand and put your palm so that it covers the entire opening of the top of your glass, and then make a small circular motion to get the beer to circulate.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Circulate, yeah. Circulate.
Under the palm, and then once you do that for, like, let's say 10 seconds, you lift your hand, take a sniff, and you get a lot more of the aroma off the beer than if you just stuck your nose in it and went like...
Drank it like you were drinking a wine.
Right.
Right. And can now, like with a wine, I know you could swirl... I guess you could probably swirl it around and get the same impact, but the problem is it's carbonated. You're going to create a head. I guess it works both ways. It's just the presentation. If you want to keep the presentation the same, don't spin your glass. Just do as you say, because it comes out the same way. I still get sake.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Now, how do you drink your stouts? Do you drink them room temperature, warm, cold? What do you do?
Cold,
oh,
but
you do?
I don't really mind when they get warmed up.
Yeah, mine are warm right now. Because I just let them hang out in the glass for a little bit and then drink them. So I guess mine are more like room temperature, but I know people who are like, oh, I don't drink UK or England style. I drink cold. Now, I don't know if there is definitely going to be a difference, but you're probably going to get more flavor when it's warmer, but you'll probably get a little more bitter too, because the bitters kind of get rolled off when you have it a little chilly. Depends if you like bitter beer or not.
Yeah, which most... apparently, most people are like, nah, I don't like the bitter. But at the same time, you can like bitter and not, you know, buy into the whole bitter beer face type thing.
Oh, yeah. It kind of depends on what your expectations are for that beer, too. Like, if you're expecting the beer to be a little sweeter, a little more balanced, and it ends up really bitter, you're going to know. For me, I don't really like an overly hopped beer. Like, I don't like a Fuggles IPA or something that's just massive. Okay, let's just say I don't like it. I just don't prefer it. I will drink it. I will drink any type of beer. It's just I prefer a beer that's a little better balanced. The problem with balance is then you end up with, like, this bland, like, oh, it tastes like everybody else's beer. So it's gonna have character, but it's also going to be balanced. That's a tough thing to do. I'm not a brewer, so I can't tell you how you pull that off.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, but at the same time, actually, here's the thing, and I'm not even going to say the thing that I was about to say, because I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he was like, dude, I've listened to your podcast, and I understand the beers that you like, and you are on an Abita love fest. Like, you love Abita. You love Abita. Abita is the best. Abita is God. And
Turbo Dog.
Exactly. And at the same time, I want to be like, no. Actually, there are some Abita beers that, you know, are just okay. I mean, they're okay beers, but, you know, the Turbo Dog happens to be one of the best brown ale that is in production. And it's because it's perfectly balanced.
Right. But it's balanced in a brown ale recipe. It's balanced for what your expectations should be had you bought a brown ale.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfectly balanced for a brown ale.
But the thing
is perfectly balanced beer, which regardless of variety, a perfectly balanced beer is extremely hard to come by.
Right. And the thing is, with a Turbo Dog, the trick I found is that you can give it to anybody and they will tell you, oh, that's good beer. They don't necessarily have to be stoked and be like, oh my God, this is the best beer I've ever had. But if somebody who doesn't typically drink microbrews or experienced a lot of different beers. To say it's a good beer means that it's balanced enough that it doesn't turn them off, and it doesn't give them any type of foul sense in tastes, so that they're doing it right. They don't, you know, not a lot of everybody doesn't know what a brown ale is. When you go and buy a Turbo Dog and you're like, oh, it's a brown ale, I know what to expect. That is not average. Most people have no fucking idea. They're just buying it because it says Turbo Dog, and come on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great name, right?
It's a really good name.
But the fact is, when you know what a brown ale is, you're like, oh, wow, this is actually a very good brown ale. And
it's actually the best brown ale.
Right, and I've had Pig's Ear, which is actually a New Hampshire brew, which is really good. And when you go to Woodstock Inn Brewery, which is – they have a restaurant inside, and it's very I don't want to say it's American, but it's more grease than you. It's enough grease that you're going, wow, this is a home cooked. Like it's like a Louisiana. What do they call Louisiana meals that are made with a lot of heavy ingredients? They're I can't remember.
Cajun.
No, but like they're foods that are heavy and rich and tasty that you really like, but you know aren't good for you, right?
Comfort food.
Totally comfort foods, right? Everything they serve is a comfort food. But you get the beer and you're like, wow, Pig's Ear brown ale, fucking awesome. Because you're having it with the food and everything's, you're in, that's a whole environment thing again, right? You're on vacation, you're up north. It's a good beer. But when you put it side by side with the Turbo Dog or Nut Brown Ales or the other ones that are out there, you were like, oh, wow, that's not really the same. It's not as good. Turbo Dog, probably the best. I know you don't care for Nut Brown, but I like the Sam Smith Nut Brown Ale because it's kind of creamy. It's more like a stout, I guess, with, I guess it would probably be the closest thing to a stout without being a stout. It's not as dark.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I don't think you're a lover of Abita. I just think you like Turbo. Like, you've never said anything that made me think that you like the other beers a lot. You've only told me the same thing that I've heard is that you like Turbo Dog, but you've never really given the other one such glorious reviews that I would say, oh, you only like their beer.
That is in no way, shape, or form the case. Just because, I mean, their other beers are, you know, they're good, but they're not Turbo Dog good.
Right.
There are, you know, they make different variations in different kinds of beers, which there are better, you know, there are better examples of the beers or the other beers that they make than, you know, what they're doing.
Right. Like, what's Purple Haze?
Well, the Purple Haze is, you know, it's a berry flavored ale.
Personally, I'll go with Magic Hat number 9.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're really into the berry flavored ale, their Purple Haze is not that great in the bottle. It's pretty good off a draft, but at the same time, yeah, I mean, go with Magic Hat. But I mean, between Magic Hat and the Purple Haze, I would prefer to just, you know, poop in them.
Right. Again, just because I said Magic Hat doesn't mean I'd go out and buy a six pack. Because yeah, I definitely would not. It's a beer I had in a pitcher at a bar, and right. I was like, oh my god, this. You know, it's one of those experiences where you're like, wow, this is unique. This is totally neat. Good. I'm glad I had the experience. Don't want to reproduce the experience again. It was good enough for that one time.
Exactly. I never want to have another berry flavored fucking beer in my life.
Except for that time when you tricked out Jake.
No, well, yeah. Well,
there's always pranks aside.
Yeah, you know, I don't like weird shit in my beer. I don't like spices in my beer. I don't like pumpkin in my beer. I don't like allspice or nutmeg in my beer. I don't like fruit in my beer. I don't like lambics.
See, I don't mind lambics, but I know I'm getting into. Like, I know I'm in a lambic state. I'm like, oh, this is a lambic. I right away. You know what? It's sort of like when you have a cup and it's covered and you think it's milk and it turns out to be orange juice. Yeah, I don't mind milk. I don't mind orange juice. But when I expect milk and I get orange juice, I'm not a big happy camper. If I'm going for a lambic, I know what I'm in for. So I know, oh, it's a lambic. It's going to taste like cider of some type with some weird flavors in it. I'm cool with that. I have no problem with that. It's a one-time experience. I'm going to give it my all. But if I'm expecting an ale, I want an ale. I don't want a fruit.
Right.
It's just the way it is. If I'm getting an Oktoberfest, I want an ale with I don't like a slight malty taste. No real spices per se, but I don't need something that tastes like a pumpkin to know it's Oktoberfest. I need something that feels like fall. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
No, and actually a good example of an Oktoberfest would be a nice light ale with it. Actually, what you're looking for is an amber ale with low hop. So you have a little bit more malt than hop, so it's a little more sweet and malty in the mouthfeel than bitter. It's almost like an ESB.
You know what I thought was good? Have you had Flying Dog Märzen Dogtoberfest?
Oh my god, I almost picked one of those up today, and we tried to order that yesterday, but they were fucking out.
Oh, really?
We were at a restaurant that has lots of different beers, and we're like, okay, we're going to order every Oktoberfest and then do a taste test. And they were out of the Flying Dog Oktoberfest, which was irritating because they had the Left Hand Brewing Company Oktoberfest, they had the Brooklyn Oktoberfest, and then they had the Beck's Oktoberfest. So we needed something to, in my opinion, even before tasting anything, they needed something for our particular taste test to compete with the Left Hand, and they didn't because they were out of the Flying Dog.
Dude, bastards. Do you like caramel in your beer?
Who doesn't?
See, the Oktoberfest is very, it's not a caramel bombardment, but when you talk about Oktoberfest and we're talking about how spices, we don't like spices, this is not spicy. It tastes like an ale or lager, or I'm going to go with ale right now. Maybe it'll change in a few minutes, but it's like, picture a winter beer, but no. Get rid of the impact of the chocolatey malt and replace it with slight malt, slight caramel. It's definitely towards malt, less towards hops. Enough hops to be okay, and I think we're under agreement that that Flying Dog typically goes more malt than hop. They don't really have an overly hopped beer, or at least I haven't had one. Now, I had one because it showed up in the mail because I'm on the good side of Flying Dog. I get a lot of their beers for free, and they just ship them to me. So, I mean, free is always good, but realistically, very impressive. Not, I mean, for the time of year, Oktoberfest beer, I think I like it. It's better. It's not as malty. It's kind of like almost winter, but not quite. 5.3% alcohol. It was a good beer. It was a little thin on the head and such, but overall, it was a good beer. It definitely had more of a caramel taste than a chocolate taste, which I don't really mind caramel. I've never had a problem with it. And the Märzen apparently is something that you only grow on. I mean, Märzen is March. I mean, in German, März is March, so it's a March, March beer.
I did not know that.
Yes. So apparently this is only brewed between September 29th and April 23rd. That's it. And then it's that's it. That's the rule for Märzen. Or Marzen if you don't know what the double dots mean. Long A. But definitely a cool beer. You know what really kicked me off to the Flying Dog Dogtoberfest, though, was the fucking label. Bright yellow. It's just really cool. It's not something – they always do something crazy with their labels.
Yeah, their labels are always very interesting.
I mean, not every one of their beers is top-notch number one. It's just the label itself would make me buy the beer if I was in the store regardless. And the fact that it says Dogtoberfest is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely – if you can get one, I'd try it. Not a stout, definitely, but it's still a sweet beer, caramely. I don't know, man. These are pretty good. I'm still going to stick with Ipswich, number one, Sam Smith, number two. Dude, there's a lot to know about stouts. I think we pretty much covered the gamut of stouts. We covered a lot of the cool beers. The other thing to notice is it works. There's a lot of alcohol in here. And if you're drinking five or six of these, you will feel it. Definitely.
If you drink five of anything, you should be feeling it.
The other thing you feel is really full. The last thing to say about stouts, kind of heavy. Kind of got a lot of calories. So pace yourself. Dude, have you seen the new Everyday Drinkers video cast?
No.
All right. So what I did, I decided we had to come up with a name. So my wife's serious about this business venture we're doing. So the latest episode of the Everyday Drinkers video cast, in which I cover the perfect margarita.
Really?
Yep. We're calling it the Common Man's Cocktails. or the Common Man cocktails, to be
specific. Like the restaurant?
No. Not Common Man, the restaurant, but Common Man cocktails, meaning they're cocktails, they're mixed drinks that we're going to create that are something that everybody can do. They're not going to require you to have any type of mixologist degree or whatever certification. Simple shit. We're going to do a zombie. We're going to do – she's got a whole schedule planned for what I have to drink in the next coming weeks. We just did mojitos, got a mojito kit shipped in from 10 Cane Rum, and we did that. That'll be up next week. Right now we did the perfect margarita. It's pretty cool. It's the margarita that I make, and I think I've served to everybody. You, all my friends have made it, so I know that it's something that everybody enjoys. So you guys totally got to check out the perfect margarita, everydaydrinkers.com. That's my pimp of my own site, which is cool since it's the podcast for that site.
Yeah.
So that's all we got, I think. So we covered 7 beers, 7 stouts, 2 people. That means Hangover Central tomorrow. Actually, probably not, because it's not that bad. However, I think we did a good job. Do you agree? I mean, we carried the show. There's only 2 of us.
It was just 2 of us. So if you're looking for like copious amounts of outtakes, they're we need Dave for copious amounts of outtakes because he sidetracks, and then if it sidetracks, then there's outtakes.
There's always outtakes, yeah. Next episode, we'll do outtakes.
And then just, you know, Kate just...
lightens up the mood.
And sounds good.
Yeah, right, that's true. There's always that. And men like women.
Can't carry that.
No, it's hard to compete with Kate because you're a man.
I am just a man.
But you know what? 2 guys that like beer drinking together from far away. I think we did pretty good.
Yeah. I would give myself that. And you too.
Virtual handshake. Yes.
All right. Virtual fist bump of terrorism. Terrorist fist bump.
Ow, I actually fist bumped. That's when you know you've been drinking.
Oh, ow, good job.
All right. This is Derek for Doug. And our producer, Luke Lydahl.
Thank God we have a producer.
Thank God, because we can't do this drunk. But
damn
you.
Damn straight.
Damn straight. And you.
Luke Lydahl.
You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can reach us at everydaydrinkers.com. I'm keeping up to date. I'm going to review all these stouts in text. You can read them yourself. You can check out our video podcast. You can check out our audio podcast. We're fucking everywhere on the net. Thank you.
And Derek is going to so sound really excited about everything that he says, because that's what Derek does.
That's called marketing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All right, we've been drinking. All right.
Actually, yes, I have.
Yes. Thank you, and good night. See, that was awesome.
All right.
Do you have to
what
pee?
What if they're into it?
I don't know if they have to. I have to pee right now. Do you have to pee?
Do you have to pee?
I do, real bad.
All right, go pee.
You're going to hold it.
All right, I'll go pee too.
If you want to. All right, I'll be right back.
I will too.
Okay.
Okay, go. Derek's going to go and pee in the toilet. Going to pee in the toilet. Hope he doesn't miss. Because he might. He's a misser. Doom, 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 doom. Doobie, doobie, doom, doom. Derek's going to pee in the toilet and he's going to miss. Dum, 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 dum. Hey, B, what's going on? My girlfriend dumped me today. What should I do? Well, you should probably kill yourself. Hi, B. So, how should I fight off the alien overlords when they arrive on Tuesday? Tactics, weapons, etc. I would have posted in before kill yourself. Personally.
I'm back. What hey, man. Are you doing?
Ing.
Oh, shit. So yeah, you already got back already, huh?
Yeah, man.
Dude, I had to pee for like an hour.
Or like 30 seconds.
It felt good, though. I'm very happy with my result. what do we get? Baltimore, Borders, Imperial Stouts. I think we covered all of them here. Oh, yeah. The last thing to say about stouts, kind of heavy. Kind of got a lot of calories. So pace yourself.
And it's like taking it in the pooper.
It's it's exactly like that.
Sorry. I had to throw that in.
You had to throw it in there.
Yeah, something needed to go in the outtakes. I figured a pooper joke.
You really can't finish an Everyday Drinkers podcast without a pooper joke.
Yeah, taking in the pooper.
All right.
If you're into it.
If you're into it.
Yeah. All right, definitely don't take it in the pooper if you're not into it, because if you're not into it and you take it in the pooper, you're going to be upset.
That's great.
So don't take it in the pooper if you don't want to take it in the pooper, because you don't want to take it in the pooper and be upset.
I must admit, I didn't know if we were going to have any outtakes this episode, but you pretty much covered it.
Woohoo!
Oh, pooper, man. Pooper. That's a lot of words of pooper.
What, pooper?
Yeah.
It's actually relatively fun to say. It you is should fun. Say it. Pooper.
I did say it. I said it like 5 times.
It's pooper.
Pooper. I see I said it.
Pooper.
I'm not going to say it anymore.
Not poop her. Pooper.
No, but it is poop her.
Yeah, don't poop on her.
Or poop him if you're into that. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Actually, some people are into poop him.
Right.
Not poop her.
Exactly.
Or taking in the pooper for poop him. Actually, is there a difference between taking in the pooper between taking in the pooper for him or her?
I don't really know. Personally.
Okay, so we'll just leave that out there.
We'll let the listeners decide.
Yeah, they can just think about it. Whether there's a difference between taking in the pooper between taking in the poop him or poop her. But if you're a poop him and you're taking it from a poop her, then it's definitely with a poop on.
What the fuck? All right, I've composed myself. You're fucking crazy.